Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Michelle Erfer,
Kimberly Senna-Moore,
and Rachel Rambach.
We are three board-certified music therapists who are passionate about our work and we feel we have something to say. Join us each month as we share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy and working as a music therapist. Thank you for joining us.
Well, happy March, ladies. What's going on?
So this has been an exciting month for me, you guys, because I'm sure you saw my Facebook posts, but I just started a new class this last week, and I had the first one on Tuesday, and it's for little kids. It's for kids 0 through 3, and it is so much fun. I am so excited about this. The kids had a great time, and the parents seem to really like it, so I am a happy camper.
That is awesome. I did see that, and I'm kind of curious, when did you get the idea? So how long did it take from kind of the idea of wanting to do this to it actually happening?
Oh, well, funny story.
Well, I didn't even know that. Just full disclaimer, I didn't know it was a funny story.
No, that's true. That's true. So I've been teaching early childhood music classes at my church for the last 6 years, right? And mm-hmm. I love it. So much fun. So for the last probably year and a half now, I've been wanting to expand that and to start my own class that's not run by my church. And I have had the hardest time finding a place to hold these classes because obviously my studio isn't meant for big groups of people and just doesn't have the parking and that sort of thing. So I spent about 2 straight months last winter, right around this time, looking for a location. I went to lots of different churches, lots of different community centers, park buildings, all of these different places. And there was just, you know, something or other wrong with each one of them. They were too expensive. They didn't have enough space. Parking wasn't good. They were, you know, nonprofit organizations that wouldn't allow me to run, you know, a business there. So I was just running into all of these walls. And I kind of gave it up for a while and stepped away from it. But this winter, I sort of got the bug again after, you know, I started feeling better and got back to feeling more energetic. So I reached out to this one place that I knew of right near my home. I knew the person that's in charge of the programs there. And it ended up being the perfect place. I mean, everything about it was just wonderful. And so we got the ball rolling. I signed the contract and like 2 weeks later started the class. So yeah, after about a year and a half of trying to get it on the ground, it's finally rolling.
That is awesome. Yeah. That's a lesson in perseverance.
Seriously. Right well, and there. I have to thank my husband because he's very stubborn and, you know, he likes to, you know, see things through all the way and he knew how much I wanted this. So he kind of, you know, gave me that extra little kick I needed every once in a while and motivated me to keep trying. So it's exciting. And I'm hoping, I was telling Michelle earlier, I'm hoping I can get a few more classes going this summer so that I can take a little extra time off from my regular schedule and have more time with the baby. So we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
How you doing, Michelle? How's little Eddie?
Great. He's doing well. He's growing, and right now he's swinging in a swing, and his eyes are closed. That's a good sign. but yeah, everything's fine. And, you know, I couldn't be happier hanging out with him. My husband went back to work, so I've been taking care of him by myself, which I was nervous about at first, but it's no big deal. So I'm happy for that.
That's great.
Yeah. That's great. I don't know what else to say about it because I'm tired.
And I don't think you need to say anything else. But should we go ahead and dig in for the topic of the month?
Well, let's ask how you're doing, Kimberly.
Oh, how I'm busy. That's really It's March Madness, and that describes my whole spring. So that's
I
about it.
I cannot even imagine.
Is spring break around the corner? I always forget how school calendars go.
You are spot on. My spring break is not for a couple of more weeks. It's actually pretty late. It's the last week of the month. So I have a couple more weeks. But at this point, honestly, my spring break isn't really a break. It's just an opportunity for me to work at home.
Right.
And do a lot of writing. So, but it's, you know, overall, it's good. I am just soaking up and loving what I'm doing and what I'm working on. And I'm at, you know, in addition to my classes right now, I'm working on my comprehensive projects, which are these research papers, and they're all tied towards my dissertation. And so I'm kind of building this conceptual framework to support what I want to do for my dissertation and subsequent research projects down the line. So I'm really just doing a lot of reading, a lot of thinking, and a lot of writing. And I kind of wish I could do more of it. I wish I couldn't, you know, didn't have to be distracted by homework.
But soon enough, that will be your entire life.
That's right.
I can speak from experience, not my own, but my mom is defending her dissertation proposal today, so big day for her.
Exciting!
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah. Good luck to her.
Thank you. I'll pass sure that on.
Pass with flying colors.
I'm sure she will too.
Music therapists in private practice do a good amount of marketing their services to the public. I mean, after all, that's how they will get business. But what about the regularly employed non-private practice music therapist? Do they have to market their services as well, or are they off the hook since they work for someone? In this episode number 40 of the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast, we'll discuss the concept of promoting music therapy within your workplace. Kimberly and Rachel, we kind of talked about this when we get together and talk about marketing and that sort of thing. But, you know, for our listeners, you know, as a music therapist, what do you guys think of when you hear the words marketing or promoting? What does that mean to you?
Well, for me, both in the employment field and in the private practice field, marketing and promoting are sort of synonymous with educating, because for most of the public, you know, they may have heard of music therapy, but as we all know, not everybody has a really clear understanding of what it actually is. And then even beyond that, how you practice music therapy and what kind of services you offer. So as far as when I was employed, I found that most of the time, you know, by educating people, I was also simultaneously marketing our program and just music therapy in general. What about you, Kimberly? What do you think?
Well, I think it's a great question. And, you know, I know we're focusing this month mostly on marketing, you know, as an employee. And I've as a music therapist, I've never really been an employee. So I'm more, I guess, approaching this theoretically. How's that for a big PhD word?
You've always worked for yourself, haven't you?
I have. Yes, I have. But when I think of marketing and promoting, my understanding of it has significantly changed over the years. I mean, if I were to answer this question 10 years ago, I would think selling. When you're marketing something, you're trying to sell it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that now. I think when you're marketing or promoting yourself, you're trying to meet a need. You're trying to understand. It's kind of like a, you know, a therapeutic relationship in music therapy. We're not, you know, there to entertain and use music. We're there to meet the need of a client. And I think the same thing, I think that's a, you know, a direct analogy to marketing. We're not there to sell what we have. We're there to say, hey, you have a problem. Here's how I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really how I, how I view it. What do you think, Michelle?
Well, I'm with you guys with all of that. And how, Rachel, you were saying, you also think of educating being another word mm-hmm. that matches that. I also think of advocating being the same thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there are lots of different components to it. And you're right, Kimberly. I think, you know, even 4 or 5 years ago, I might have thought, okay, well, it means, you know, getting my name out there, passing out flyers and doing mailings and things like that. But yeah, it definitely has changed over the last few years for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it's something that regardless of where you work or what you do, it's going to be a part of your job, you know? So if you're an employee, you know, there's likely going to be a lot of education that needs to happen because chances are you're going to be the only music therapist at that facility. Or you're going to, you know, maybe if you're lucky enough, there'll be a couple of other people who are music therapists. Maybe there's a small team, but there's going to also be turnover. And, you know, I can't help but go to a hospital because I've done a lot of work in hospitals. And, you know, there's always turnover in nurses and turnover in rehab staff and X, Y, and Z. And so there's that constant education piece about who you are, what you do, and how you can help the patients. Right. So at least in that situation, it's really tied to referrals.
Mm-hmm.
What was your, when you were at Hope, Rachel, what was your, because I just think of hospitals and really the promoting part is in terms of getting appropriate referrals, at right. least in my experience. How was it in a school setting?
It was definitely interesting. And, you know, it wasn't your average school setting because we weren't a private school, a traditional private school. We weren't a public school. We were kind of our own category. And, you know, we had an entire marketing department for our school. And so we had a lot of opportunities to get out into the public and to promote music therapy and what we were doing. So I was really busy a lot of the time with doing a lot of different interviews and newspaper articles and things like that, which was amazing because music therapy really didn't exist in our community until that position came along. So I really had an opportunity to advocate for music therapy and educate the public. So it was just a lot of talking about what we did and spreading the word about it. So it was it felt like a lot of responsibility because, you know, I was the face behind music therapy, basically.
Well, and my other question then for you, Rachel, because mm-hmm. not only were you the only music therapist at that facility, you were the only music therapist in the whole community. And
right.
it's pretty, I mean, 150,000 or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I really admire how you were able to kind of leverage that into not only advocating and marketing music therapy at the facility, but really community-wide as well.
Right. And, you know, I really do have Hope to thank for that because they sort of placed these marketing opportunities in my lap, you know, bringing the people in and showing them what we did at Hope so that, you know, it kind of got their wheels turning for, okay, how else can music therapy be implemented in the community? And mm-hmm. that led to me providing music therapy at the autism program here in town. That led to a lot of my early success in private practice because people saw me in these newspaper articles and in these magazine articles and news interviews and thought, oh my gosh, you know, music therapy, let's mm-hmm. call this person up. And so I would get phone calls at Hope asking about my practice availability, which, you know, Hope was also very supportive of that. And they would actually, like on Facebook and things like that, would actually help me promote my private practice, which is a little bit unheard of in an employment setting.
I was going to say, I mean, that.
Yeah, I know. So it was actually pretty fantastic. I mean, they would repost blog articles that I would write on Listen and Learn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just were very, very supportive of my endeavors outside of the school, which is, you know, it just made me feel like, okay, I'm not competing with Hope, you know, music therapy. It's more of let's get music therapy out there.
Right. And that really is remarkable, you know, that kind of administrative openness. And it makes me think, and I don't know, Michelle, if you have, because I wouldn't think that would be common.
No.
Michelle, have you have any experiences where, I don't know, any marketing, because I don't think I have, and I don't know if you have, where any marketing or advocacy opportunities were not supported administratively?
Well, the only example, and it's not even really an example, but one thing that I ran into, and this is kind of related, but when I at the hospital, one of our patients had passed away, and the family asked me to play at their funeral. And so I checked with my administrator to make sure that was okay. Not that I was doing it during work time or even getting paid. Oh, and they had mentioned they wanted to pay me for it, and I wanted to check with my supervisor about this because this was at a hospital, you know. And they had said, it's okay, you can accept that, because I just wanted to make sure that was okay. I mean, I didn't accept it anyway, but they said, because I'm like, no, don't worry about it. But my administrator was like, as long as you're not working as an agent of the hospital, you can do whatever you want. And so that's sort of, to me, them saying, you know, when you're not here, you're not with us. Like, if you're in, you know what I'm saying? You're not representing the hospital when you play at that funeral, even though that relationship started at the hospital. So I would say that is the actually opposite of Rachel's experience at all. Like, I can't imagine they would promote anything that I would do.
Well, and I think that part of it was that I work with the same basic population in my private practice as I do at the school. So there was actually a lot of crossover where some of the students, you know, that I saw privately attended Hope. Not a lot, but a few, because most of them lived there because it was a residential school. But you know, not necessarily even direct services, but I provided a lot of consult materials as well for those kids outside of the school. So I think they saw that it all connected and kind of one thing helped another. So I think that was part of it.
Now, do you feel that the average music therapy employee has to do marketing as part of their, maybe it's like an unwritten duty. Do you think that's like an unwritten duty of a music therapy employee at a facility to do this external marketing that we've been talking about?
Well, external marketing, I don't know. I think internal marketing, yes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, the external marketing that will probably, I mean, I'd imagine that would depend on the facility and the needs of the facility and kind of even the vision of the facility. I mean, a lot of facilities, I think, use music therapy as a kind of a highlight, hey, look at what we provide kind of thing. How's that for professional sounding jargon kind of thing? But internally, for sure. I mean, every time you answer the question, what is music therapy? You're doing marketing, really.
Absolutely.
At my work at the hospital, you know, I feel like a marketing machine in that way because I have to tell my coworkers what this is so that they can make referrals because everything I do is based on referral. Or if I just see something and I'm like, oh, this person needs music therapy. I still want to check with their nurse to make sure it's a good time, and you know, who knows what you're walking into. But even then, I'm telling them about it, and it's that recurring educating and communicating. But that's promoting. That's promoting the field.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, for me, and I've said this before, going into Hope as an employed music therapist, even though I already had the job and, you know, the administration understood what I was doing, when I walked into those classrooms, I felt like I was selling music therapy all over again because these teachers and classroom aides and things like that, they didn't necessarily have a full understanding of what I was there to do. So I really had to market myself and market, you know, what I was doing so that they not only understood it, but that they supported it and were willing to help, you know, basically during the sessions, help me get those kids involved and make it a successful program.
Yeah, I always think of it as like planting seeds with the staff so that they become marketers for you. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't tell, if you just say, hey, I'm the music therapist, I'm going to work with this person, they're going to say great, and they're going to walk in on that session, and they're going to see you singing and playing, and they're going to see a positive response from the patient, and they're going to think that's cool. But that's exactly what they're going to tell other people.
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. going to tell that next patient, oh, we have a music therapist here, she sings songs, and it makes a lot of sense why they would say that. But, you know, you have to do that seed planting, you know, you have to take that time to say, I see this person is in a lot of pain. I can do these, you know, we can work together and do relaxation exercises or some breathing techniques with music, and it will really help them. And I hear that come back tenfold whenever I just take the time to say that little goal line to staff, because I hear them talk to other staff saying, oh, this person is in pain. Call, here's Michelle, get her in that mm-hmm. room. Or they'll talk to another patient saying, or their family saying, we have a music therapist here. Like, why don't I call her for you? And that sort of thing. So it's like, you know, you're just kind of expanding your pool. Everyone becomes a marketer for you when you tell them how it is. But I always find that you have to, after the session, get back with that nurse or with that staff and say, here's what I did and here's what happened. You always have to give them that follow-up, and people really will start working for you, and they don't even know it. You get little minions.
Yeah, that, yep. No, that is so true, and it just kind of brought me back to, you know, being at Hope and hearing the teacher's assistants walking down the hall singing my songs and asking about music and, you know, being excited for music therapy, and that's it. You know, if you get them excited and you make them understand what it's all about, then they are going to, you know, kind of do that marketing for you and be just as excited as you are about what you're doing.
And I know for me, their energy gave me energy, because sometimes, you know, you're at work and you have a day where you don't maybe feel the most productive or positive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But when they're coming up to you saying, hey, I got this referral, or what about that, or whatever, I mean, it starts my fire up again.
Absolutely. Too.
Who can music therapists at facilities target their marketing energy toward? We sort of have been touching on this. Who are those specific groups that music therapists can make their target market?
Well, I think for me, and just speaking it from experience, you should never stop marketing what you do to your administration, because they're the ones that are in charge of your job, basically.
Yeah.
They're in charge of your paycheck. And you want them to know that you're making a difference and that you are having a positive effect on your clients. So, you know, that's why I was so diligent about always, you know, providing reports and providing, you know, progress updates with them, so that they saw that they had it in writing, you know, every month or every few months, and just knew, okay, this is a valuable program and it needs to stick around. And I think that, you know, it worked, because after I left, they hired a replacement for me. So,
right.
But I think number one, your first priority is your administration.
I absolutely agree. Because I think I see kind of different levels. And Rachel, what you said, completely agree. You need that administration to know, what are you doing? What's the value that you're providing to those clients? Mm-hmm. I think another level are the people that you work with.
Yeah.
So the people kind of in the trenches, so to speak, so that they can understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, and how, you know, and if you're at a hospital, so that they can give appropriate referrals, and so that, you know, if you're at a school, so that the teachers understand how you're, you know, reinforcing and supporting what's needed in the classroom.
Right.
And then another level would be that if you do market externally, are you targeting, you know, groups and communities that have similar, and agencies that have similar clients that are served.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I can say about the external marketing is that I would be asked to do that on a kind of fairly regular-ish basis at the hospital. When they would do like health fairs, they would always ask me to have a display and talk about music therapy. Whenever there was any kind of event like that, because we would have this annual like patient safety event, and I'd always be asked to talk about music therapy when like I don't know how music therapy can help patient safety, but they would always ask me to do a display anyway. So I would just stand there and talk about music therapy, even though I couldn't really relate it to patient safety too much. I would just say, yeah, it helps people stay in bed, especially for people who are confused so they don't fall and get hurt. Like, that was like my stretch to make it with the event. But it was still, you know, that marketing. Sometimes it doesn't really matter what the event is or why you're there. It's just that you do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think all those target markets that you talk about, I completely agree. And I can't even think of anyone else to add. Oh, but one thing I do remember now, because I don't think very well anymore. But about...
It's temporary, Michelle. It just lasts a couple of years.
I know. It isn't as bad as pregnancy brain, but
good. Yeah. Thank goodness.
There aren't a lot of times where I walk into a different room and don't remember why I'm there.
Because I do that on a daily basis.
But when you talk about marketing to administration, I would say, you know, of course, yes. One thing that I encounter a lot in the hospital is that there's so many, maybe it's, they're not really technically administration, but there's a lot of department heads and there's a lot of, cause there's just different areas. You'll have oncology, NICU, peds, whatever. Every single one of those directors, is someone to market to as well. And even you'll have some people that, my husband uses the term benefactor. You'll have a benefactor at your workplace where it's that person that really gets it and they're going to call you all the time and you don't have to explain anything to them, but you still want to maintain that relationship and still touch base with them, even though you know that they're in your corner. And you want to seek out your own benefactor within your workplace, because they're going to be your cheerleader through other things. So you kind of have two groups to look at. You have your administrators or directors that are, like, you know, with you, and then the folks that you need to make more relationships with, too.
That's true. And, Michelle, when you said benefactor, that rang another bell in my head, because I did have a benefactor, not actually in my facility, but as the provider of the grant that my job was on for the first 2 years. That grant covered my salary as well as the music therapy budget. And so that was somebody that I definitely had to answer to. And just like, you know, I had to provide all of that information and those progress reports to my administration, I did the same with the grant funders. And they would come in from time to time and want to see a session, want to see my work in action. And, you know, there's nothing like that kind of pressure to get you going. But you constantly want to be on your game, especially when, you know, your job is not necessarily on the line, but you do have to prove that you're holding up to your expectations and doing the job that they're basically funding for you. So... that's another group that you might have to think about.
Now, we will be elaborating on this topic in our pro podcast. Remember, we have our premium site, Music Therapy Pro, and we're going to be sharing specific tips on how you can promote music therapy within your workplace. And this conversation is only available, like I said, to our pro community, who also have access to a members-only forum, resource list, videos, exclusive podcasts, and discounts with select members. CMTE courses are also available to community members at no additional charge. At Music Therapy Pro, we've done the hard work already. Now we're sharing our secrets with you.
And now on to our cool resource of the month. So remember that amazing Imagine magazine through AMTA? Well, now it's its own website, imagine-unlimited.net. Here's what they say on their website. Imagine Unlimited is a clearinghouse of information on research and practice for early childhood music therapists, related professionals, and parents. The collaboration offers a source for training, resources, connection, and consultation to support professional development and individual growth. So we just want to send a... big congrats out to Petra Kern, who heads up this effort. And I know I'm super excited about this new website since I work with this population. And of course, I'm already looking forward to the next installment of the magazine.
And we would like to give a special shout out to our pro partners. Music Therapy Pro members receive discounts on the following products and services. A discount on a social media makeover package from Mr. and Mrs. Marketing. Discounts from two books, e-songbooks, published by Wholesome Harmonies Music Therapy. This is Tuneful Teens, Creative Ideas for Engaging Adolescents in Music Therapy, and Sensational Songs and Activities, Sensory-Based Ideas for Music Therapy. Also, a discount from Perfect Lullaby and their CD. Discounted CMTEs through the Music Therapy Research blog. Discounts on all Boomtope products, as well as a discount on the Listen and Learn Plus membership and the Therapy Business Blueprint ebook.
Now we have an announcement to make. Yay! You can buy Rachel's Listen and Learn songbook right now for $10. Hooray! I'm not sure if y'all know this, but Rachel and I, our relationship first started with the songbook because we got together to publish it. Yeah. And it's really a great book, and we're having a liquidation sale. So now you can get here. Now that I had a baby, I need room. I want to sell these books. So we have, but the book is great. It has 24 of her songs with the melody line and chords. There's activity suggestions for each song. There's different topics that are covered, like counting, daily care, directions, transitions, friendships, lots more. This is the perfect gift for a music therapy student or professional, anyone who works with kids, anyone who's going to be graduating soon. It's a really great gift, any kind of library like that. So we're offering it now for $10 with free shipping. So we'll have that link on the Music Therapy Roundtable website.
And this month's Sunday success story comes from our Music Therapy Pro member, Joanne Jordan. Here's what she shared over in the Facebook forum. I just kicked off a free 4-week program to assist people in starting intergenerational programs. The first two videos are loaded and ready for folks, as is the private Facebook group for participants. And we will be sharing that link in our show notes. And we just want to say congratulations to Joanne. She is an innovator in the field of musical intergenerational programs. And thank you for sharing your expertise with the rest of us.
Thank you for joining us. To read a transcript of the show, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com, where you will also find links to each of our personal blogs. You can get podcast episodes sent directly to you by subscribing to the Music Therapy Roundtable through iTunes. If you enjoy the podcast, please write an iTunes review. It helps our ranking, which allows us to reach more people like you. So if you have a comment or question, please email us at info@musictherapyroundtable.com. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll talk again next month.